Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing all things Nashville Predators. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators head coach John Hines. John, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Appreciate you having me. Beautiful morning. Sun's up. Having a little coffee, a little video review from last night, so all good here.
Very good. Appreciate you taking time to join us. And, John, just from your vantage point, we've talked about it here on the show today. What happened in the third period last night? What did you see from the bench as to what allowed Chicago to get back in that game?
Yeah, you know, I thought when we were there, I didn't think we let off, you know, the gas too much. I thought there were two areas of our game that we knew were going to be essential against Chicago, and one was our net front defense. You know, I thought that, you know, even the game at home, I thought Saros played very well, and we gave up some chances, scoring chances in that slot area, rebounds, backside plays, like the first, you know, like that second goal against they scored. We talked about that in third period, so we weren't as strong as we needed to be in that area. And I think when you look at the other two goals, they're a very good line rush offense team, and if you're not uptight as a five-man unit, you know, we made some tough reads and we weren't right up top over people. We gave them a little bit of time and space, and they made some good plays. So, you know, we got beat in two areas in that time frame. I think it was 2 minutes and 50 seconds or something. That,
yep.
Were areas that they're very strong in, and we weren't as good as we needed to be in those components.
So, John, you called a timeout right after they made it 4-3. At that point, is that a timeout, like, to settle everyone down, just sort of stop the momentum, specific things you wanted to say? Like, what was the reasoning for the timeout?
Yeah, both. I think it's to really reset, you know, reset our team and also try to stop the momentum. You know, where I think you come in, you get up 4-1 early right in the period, and then, you know, when you look at the game, we get up 4-1. I mean, we had numerous quality chances to make it, you know, 5-6, and Superman kept it in. You know, the game's kind of just, now both teams are just playing, you know, and then all of a sudden they get up and running and they score. So, you know, you call timeout. Okay, let's have a reset. We got to get back to the game we were playing. We were playing really well. There's a reason why we were up 4-1. Let's get back to that game, but we have to make sure that we're not playing on our heels. We got to get back on the attack. And that was kind of the message to the group, but you know, it wasn't good enough.
Yeah, and John, it is interesting because I agree. I mean, I thought watching the game, the first two periods, first 50 minutes of that game was one of the best games I think you guys have played all season long. I mean, you had so many quality looks from the slot. Subban was outstanding. I know sometimes fans look at it and a goaltender gives up four goals and think, okay, maybe it wasn't a great night for a goalie. He was awesome in that game for the Blackhawks. So how do you kind of balance all the good you did from that game with the way the game ended, and how do you make sure your guys kind of respond to it the right way heading into the game tomorrow against the Blackhawks again?
Right. I think from the coaching and from the tactical standpoints, I think I think there's a lot of things that we do well against Chicago that, I mean, you know, the players know that. I think it's reinforcement of those things. It's really addressing, again, our net front defense. Where and how can we be better? Our line rush defense, the situations where we're struggling. I think you have to address those situations in a teaching way. But to me, I think the great challenge is exactly what you said. Like you, if you're not a mentally and emotionally tough team, you're not going to win even if you get in the playoffs. So if we want to get in the playoffs, this is a situation. We played a good hockey game. We made mistakes. Okay, we didn't win the game. But in playoff-type situations, right, you have to move on to the next game. You could lose, how many times in playoffs you see a team lose 5-0 and come back and win the next game, right? You have to be ready for the next one. So I think this is a great opportunity to really see the mental toughness of our group. I think we've really worked at it. I think we've gotten a lot better. But what better way, right, to come in and say, okay, if we're going to get in the playoffs, we're going to have to continue to win some big games. We may not win every game, but we're going to have to really respond when we don't win, which is a great opportunity tomorrow. And if you get into the playoffs, well, you're not going to win if you're not a mentally tough and emotionally tough group that can respond to adversity or a tough loss or a big win. Right? To me, it's no different than responding after a big win. Do you let off the gas and the other team's hungrier? These are all those little things I think really makes a team extremely competitive. And to me, it's a great challenge. That's what we're going to talk about today, and I'm excited to get to see where our team's at tomorrow and get them ready for it.
So you mentioned you're doing video review right now, John. So and after a game like this, and obviously like you just laid it out for us, the message, and it totally makes sense. But in terms of the review, after a game like that, does that change at all like your routine in terms of reviewing the game, or do you do the exact same, you know, thing every time in terms of looking past, you know, looking at the last game and looking ahead? Like does the end of last night change at all how you go about your routine today?
No, it doesn't. No, because it's, you know, you have the same, the coaches have their assignments of what components of the game that they're going to watch. And then so you divide it up and guys will go watch it. And then we'll meet together as a staff a little bit later this morning and really discuss what they saw, what we felt. You know, you have a long discussion with your coaching staff. We'll probably talk to David a little bit. And all this is done in preparation prior to going to the team and the players with it. And some days your post-game review is always the same. What does change is the delivery of it to the players. Who does it? How do you do it? Positive, negative, sometimes no video. Sometimes you just talk to them. But I think the way that you present it to the team and the players, that's the thing that varies the most. But the preparation of the material and the post-game review is always the same.
Predators head coach John Hines on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, John, I thought last night another example of the Sissons line just being dominant at times out there and controlling the play, not just playing well and responsible defensively, but generating chances offensively as well. When you look at that group and that line specifically, how much of a tone setter have they been? How much trust do you have in them in all situations at this point?
Well, they've definitely been a tone setter and an identity line for us of how we want to play. They're you know, we like to have them start periods. Lots of times you'll put them out after a goal for, a goal against. You know, they're big, strong, extremely competitive guys. They really committed to playing a simple game that suits their skill sets. You know, they get pucks out of the, when they're in the D zone, they defend hard. When they come to the neutral zone, they're fast. They put pucks behind the D. They get in on the forecheck. They don't pass up a hit. But I think now you start to see them because they have this identity. Lots of times they gain a little bit more puck sometimes. The D are a little bit more nervous, and all of a sudden the D aren't making plays coming out of their zone, and they're gaining possession of the puck. And they've been a threatening line, which is, I think, has really been impressive for that group, with even with Matty Olivier on that line, that, you know, these guys, they win their shifts. They almost win every shift. Whoever they play against, they usually win that shift. And they're not just hit banging and crashing. They are banging and crashing, which is a big component of being hard to play against, but they can make plays, and they wind up scoring. And when you have a line that can do that, it just makes you a much deeper, more competitive, and harder team to deal with.
Another guy playing really well for you guys, John, is Mikael Granlund. Couple questions on him. One, with DeShane coming back in the lineup, was there any consideration at all to changing up that second line? And then two, last Monday, was there like an extra like text or two to David Poile? Like, hey, you know, Granlund's looking really good for us. Like, what is your communication level around the trading deadline with your GM?
Yeah, well, on the first one with Matt coming back, you always consider those things. I mean, we do try to leave no stone unturned and talk about every player coming back, and chemistry and things like that. But just, you know, we just felt that the way that Granlund's been playing and that line in general, there's just some really good chemistry with them. And I think the way that they're feeding off each other is, I don't think you want to break that up right now. And Granny's done a good job in the middle. You know, he's been good on faceoffs, and he's playing some good hockey. So I think it was a good opportunity also. Just, you know, DeShane gets in the lineup. I thought that Cousins and Hall are playing really well. Hall has done a really good job in the middle, and sometimes coming in on the wing, you know, it helps you get your game going with a little bit less, you know, defensive hockey, or even more about faceoffs in those situations. So we did talk about it, but didn't really have a lot of consideration in breaking up the line. Regarding the deadline, I mean, David and I talk all the time with you know, along with the other coaches and the director of player personnel and pro scouts. And, You know, I think David does a really good job. I mean, he includes everyone. Everyone has an opinion, and everyone has a voice. But ultimately, he's going to make the final decision. You know, part of going through the deadline is that, you know, I think David also said it, that he would consider, you know, Granlund coming back. I mean, the thing that makes him, you know, so valuable is obviously the way he plays. But, I mean, this guy, it's not going to matter how much money he makes, or I think he's going to age fairly well. I mean, he's in unbelievable shape. He can log big minutes. He can play center, wing, power play, penalty kill, 6-on-5, 5-on-6, plays banged up, never in the training room, just a hockey player. And that's why he's as good as he is. And that's, you know, I think you want to have those types of players in and around your team, that they're like, they love the game of hockey. You know, it's all about that. It's not about lifestyle, money. It doesn't change him. He's just the same guy, and he's a really good hockey player.
Well, he's certainly been really good for you guys as of late, and got another big game against the Blackhawks coming up tomorrow. Coach, thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning, and good luck tomorrow against the Hawks.
All right, thanks, guys. Always enjoy talking with you.
Absolutely, you as well. John Hines, Predators head coach, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what John Hines had to say there. Also get into a couple of cringeworthy moments from some coaches in other sports in the sporting world as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.